תזכו לשנים רבות נעימות וטובות. רבותיי, we are now on Isru Hag, Hag HaPesach Tafshin Peh. We hope everybody enjoyed their Hag under the circumstances. Be'ezrat Hashem, we look forward to rejoining with all our members Bekarov. But in the meantime, we have to make mention that over the Hag, we lost one of the Gedolei Yisrael, the former chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael, the Rishon Lezion, the Zaken of the Rishon Lezion group. That is, of course, Chacham Eliyahu Bakshi Doron, Zecher Sadiq Levracha. We actually were praying from over the holiday, Eliyahu Ben Tova Bahia. And now we say, Ruach Adonai Tenihenu Began Eden, Uti Nishmato Tzura B'Tzora Chaim, Amen. The rabbi was clearly a gaon in both parts of the Torah, the Lamdanut part, and also the Psak Halakha, as evident in his Sefarim Binyan Av. I recommend all our members to take a look at these Sefarim Binyan Av, where you see tremendous geonut of a great, great rabbi that had a great hold and a great grasp of all the parts of the Torah, and he works them back and forth, and he comes out with tremendous chidushim and conclusions lehalacha. Again, it's she'elot u'tshuvot binyan av. He was very close to Acham Avadya Yosef. He actually received his style in how to give a psak halacha from the rabbi, and therefore we cannot not mention his passing. His passing is a great loss for Klal Yisrael, and it's even a greater loss the fact that we're not able to be maspid, and that we weren't unable to have proper levaya. But of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does exactly what he sees fit to every neshama, and obviously that was his tikkun. If anybody ever went to the old cemetery in Har HaMenuchot, right next to Racham Baruch, Alav Hashom, is buried, you'd see for many years there was a tombstone over there that said Eliyahu Bakshi Doron. Actually had his name on the tombstone, very, very strange, which was right next to his wife that had predeceased him. And it seems he had that plot, but he put his name on it. It's interesting. Maybe visited it from time to time, and it gives a person a musar, where you see your final resting place, and you see the name on the tomb. That could clearly give a person some perspective. And it made a big impression on me. Every time I would go visit Acham Baruch, I would see, wow, Eliyahu Bakshi Doron is still alive. But you see his name already earmarked on that spot. And now, unfortunately, that tomb is going to be occupied by the tzaddik. So I thought that, we're about to give the daf hayomi. I think we have that slated for 10:15. But I just wanted to say one Devre Torah that he says in his name, Le'ilu Nishmato, and he should be a Milit Yosher for us at this time that we're saying Devre Torah that he said over on Parashat Shemini. The Rav in Parashat Shemini, which is our Parasha, his talk is on the Ma'achalot Asurot, which occupies the main part of our Parasha. What's permissible to eat and what's forbidden. In our parasha, the Torah lists the animals, Zot HaHaya. It also lists to us the signs of a fish, kosher fish. It also lists to us the different birds that are forbidden for us to eat. It also lists to us the Shiratzim. And it's important to point out that in the same parasha that talks about also the laws of Tum'ah and Tahara. If you look even at the end of the parasha, when the Torah refers to the laws of Kashrut, the Torah says in the last pasuk in the parasha, Lehavdil ben Atameh uben Atahor. It compares these these laws to the laws of Tum'ah v'Tahara. Now, clearly we know the laws of Tum'ah v'Tahara are something that specifically apply to the Kohanim. But we see that there's some similarity in that if you look, for example, in the laws of Korbanot, the laws of Korbanot are primarily learned in Masechet Chulin. Over there you learn the laws of Tum'ah v'Tahara, what the Kohanim are able to do with the Korban, what they're not allowed. And in that same Masechet Chulin, we learn basically the laws of Shechita, of kosher foods. The Rambam, for example, when he wants to categorize and catalog the laws of Kashrut, he puts it in Seder Kadashim, Kodshim, which means it seems that, or Kedusha, I should say. Kedusha is things that are holy. The Rambam believed that Ma'achalot Asurot and Kedusha, they go together. What I meant to say is that Masechet Chulin is in Seder Kodshim. So you see that they put Kedusha and Ma'achalot Asurot together. So the Rav wants to understand what is this secret in Ma'achalot Asurot, in the kosher diet that Jewish people are commanded. What is it about it that brings us to this level of Kedusha? So he makes a beautiful observation. He says that the parasha of Ma'achalot Asurot is written in the same parasha where we inaugurate the Mishkan. Of course, it's the Mishkan that it says V'shachanti betocham, that the Shekhinah actually would able to come down and rest at this point in the heart of every Jew. We also read about the death of Aharon's children in this week's parasha. We're also told that Aharon HaKohen cannot drink yayin v'shechar. He cannot drink any intoxicating beverages before he enters the Mikdash. It is that parasha that the Torah decides to tell us about Ma'achalot Asurot. And the Rav comes along and he explains based on a mashal. The mashal is brought in the Midrash Tanhuma. Rashi alludes to it. If you look at the end of the parasha, where it talks about the animals that are permissible to eat. So the pasuk says, the pasuk's lashon is, Zot ha'haya asher tochelu. Zot ha'haya. So Rashi says, ha'haya lashon hayim. Unbelievable Rashi. Zot ha'haya. Why do you call an animal a haya? Because it's alive. But this is the animals that you should eat. Asher tochelu. So Rashi says, the fish Yisrael, the bukim b'makom. The Jewish people are attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like the pasuk says in Devarim, v'atem ha'devikim v'ashem elokechem, hayim kolechem hayom, v're'uyim liyot hayim. And therefore, we deserve to live. Lefichach, hevdilanu min ha'tum'ah. God separated us from the tum'ah. V'gazar alem mitzvot, ul'umot ha'olam lo asar klum, but to the nations of the world, lo asar klum, he didn't forbid any of this stuff. Mashal le'rofeh. And then that she alludes to the mashal of the rofe, the mashal of the doctor. That mashal in its entirety is two guys come to the doctor and they're both under the weather and they're both ill. And to one, the doctor comes along and he doesn't prescribe anything. He just tells him, you know, continue doing what you're doing, eat what you want to eat, drink what you want to drink, do whatever you want. The other one, he prescribes him a very, very rigid diet. Eat this, don't eat that. Drink this, don't drink that, and a whole prescription. And the Midrash says, what's the difference between the two of them? So one of them, the doctor says that this guy's not going to live anyway. He has no life. He's not connected to life. So therefore, it doesn't matter what he's going to eat or what he's going to drink. He's going to die anyway. So therefore, there's no sense in giving him a regimen. With the other guy, he can get saved. And therefore, if we give him the right diet, he can actually acquire life. So God says, the goyim, they have no life, they're not connected to Hayim. Therefore, it doesn't matter what they eat or drink. But the Jewish people are connected to Hayim, and therefore we can connect them to life through what they're eating. Now, the Rabakshi Doron points out, Alav Shalom, that obviously we're talking about life in Olam Haba, because the Goyim have life in this world. It's a very important diyuk. Obviously, it's not the Hayim in this world, because Goyim live. Some Goyim live, to 90 years old, 100 years old, and they're eating all these, rotten things. So obviously, the Hayim that the Shia is talking about, Zot HaHaya, is the key to Olam Haba, to the Jewish people, is the Ma'achalot, is what they eat. And the question then is, what is that, Shad? How does that work? That the food that we eat, we understand what it does to us physically, but how does that impact our neshamot? How does that impact that we have Hayim and we're connected to a Olam Haba? How does that work? So, first of all, we must point out there is an inherent difference between the laws of Tum'ah v'Tahara and the laws of Kashrut. And this is, he makes a point of it to show you how severe it is. The laws of Tum'ah v'Tahara, it's not asur to become Tameh. There's nothing wrong with becoming Tameh. If a person, let's say, goes to a cemetery, he didn't make an Avera. If he's Tameh, there's a law that he can't go into the Beit HaMikdash. A Tameh cannot serve. He has to go through a process before he goes and brings a Korban. But Be'etzem, the Tum'ah itself, does not impact the Jewish person necessarily in a bad way. We don't have any isurim to being metamet to the met. Adrabah, there's a mitzvah to go to be metamet to a met, especially in the case of a met mitzvah. If a person gets a tum'ah, so he has to deal with it. But it's no isur. Masha'enken, the impact that machalot asurot have is much greater. There's an isur to eat these things. To the extent the Gemara cannot accept that a tzaddik will ever eat something that's isur. The Gemara says that the animals of the tzaddikim, isur did not come to them, like the Hamor of Rabbi Pinchas ben Ya'ir, the Gemara tells a story. Tzaddikim lo kol sheken. The Gemara can tolerate that a tzaddik can make a sin in other areas. Rabbi Ishmael, we learned in Daf Yomi, didn't he move the Ner on Shabbat? That a tzaddik can make Chilul Shabbat b'shogeg, that the Tosfot says is tolerable. But that the tzaddik should eat something that's forbidden, the Gemara has no acceptance of such a thing. That means you see that the eating is a tum'ah be'etzem, which a regular tum'ah betara is not tum'ah, is not a isud be'etzem. It's something that if you have it, then you have laws that apply to you. But there's nothing wrong if a person contracts tum'ah. But legabe ma'achalot asurot, it's clearly much more serious. And we know that. It says it in this week's parasha. Just to read the words, when it says by the Sheretz, the Torah says, "Velo titameu b'hem v'nitmetem bam," and "v'nitmetem bam." Rashi says, "Im atem mitameim b'hem ba'ares, ap ani mitame etchem ba'olam haba." So again, you see, it's an olam haba item. Rashi says, if you're going to mitame yourself in this world with ma'akalot asurot, the tum'ah that you can have is not only in olam hazeh. Af ani mitame etchem be'olam haba. That's a very, very, very important yesod again. That there's something to do with kashrut and the eternity of the Jewish people. Everybody, of course, is interested in gaining olam haba. And the Torah is telling you over here that olam haba, what is olam haba? Let's explain it like this. We'll explain it like this. We know that there's four different parts of the creation. The four different parts of the creation are the Domem, the Tzomeach, the Hay, and the Medaber. Let's review this. This is Datzham. Datzham tells you that you have the Domem. Domem is the inanimate object, like a rock. Let's talk about the Tzomeach, for example. Tzomeach is the plants, the vegetation. Then you have Hay is an animal, the Medaber is the human being who speaks. So I think the Maharal said this. The Maharal says that when you have, let's say, a tzomeyah, tzomeyah is the plants. So what happens when a plant is not nourished and does not receive its nourishment? It does not decline to become a domem, which is the level beneath it. The tzomeyah disintegrates and gets ruined and just perishes legamret, completely, which is a very important yesod. It's not when a certain species doesn't live up to its purpose, It's not that we say, okay, well, it got downgraded to the species beneath it. No, it loses its mahot. It loses its characteristic completely. So the Maharal said the same thing when it comes to a medaber. Now we know that the Kuzari writes that medaber is the human, and then there's another level after medaber, which is the human, which is called the Yehudi. A Jew is considered a biriyah b'fnei atzma. We have to accept that the Jewish people is amzu yatzartali. This is a nation that God created. It's a yitzirah b'fnei atzma. You tell me, what do you mean? But if you look in the street, everybody looks the same. Everybody looks the same. But if you look at the insides, the Jewish person has a neshama. And that wiring on the inside is something that no other nation has. They might have nefesh, which is lower levels of the soul, but it's not the neshama that the Jewish people have. So the inside of a Jewish people, the wiring is completely spiritually different. Therefore, Am Yisrael is in a different species. So therefore, Maharal writes, sometimes the Torah compares us to the stars, and sometimes the Torah compares the Jewish people to Afar Ha'aretz. And the Midrash says that when the Jewish people are doing the right thing, they rise up to the stars. And when they do the wrong thing, they go lower to the earth. So he said, what's the pshat? He says, because a Jew, when he doesn't live up to his purpose, so then it's not that he just declines to become the species beneath him, like, let's say, a goy. No, he'll be worse than a goy. He disintegrates totally. He falls down all the way to the Afar Ha'aretz, which is the lowest level. Just like a vegetation, if it doesn't get its nutrients, it disintegrates completely. It doesn't become a domem, it doesn't turn into a rock. The Jewish people also, when they don't live up to their religious standards, they say he's living like a goy. No, you'll see that the Jew that doesn't live up to his standards becomes worse. He goes all the way down to Afar Ha'aretz. So obviously, there is something to say here, that the Jewish people have a neshama. We have this Jewish soul. So, therefore, the Rav says our diet cannot be the same, because we're not just feeding a body. The food that we eat over here is going to affect this Jewish soul that only we have. So therefore, we cannot just eat what everybody else is eating. It's a different creation. It's a different species. When God promised to take us out of Mitzrayim, you know, the four Lishonot of Geula, V'otzeti, V'tzalti, V'ga'alti, V'lakahti. The Rab talks about V'lakahti. What does it say? V'lakahti etchem li le'am. God says, I'm going to take you as a nation. When did that happen? That happened at Matan Torah. But that's not the last part of V'lakahti etchem li. The Pasuk says, V'ahiti lachem l'Elohim. And then the next thing is going to happen, I will be for you a God. And then the next thing it says, which is the key, Vidatem ki ani Adonai Elohechem. And then you're going to reach a level that's called Vidatem. So there's three parts of this last ma'amar. Velakahti etchem, that's I'll take you, that's Matan Torah. Vahiti lachem Elohim. The goal is Vahiti lachem Elohim. And we'll see how that's accomplished. And then the end is Vidatem ki ani Hashem. The Rav points out that if you look at the laws of Kashrut, when the Torah comes along and says, ki ani Adonai hama'ale etchem me'eretz Mitzrayim, God says, I took you out of Mitzrayim, liyot lachem l'Elohim. God says, I took you out of Mitzrayim, and the goal is liyot lachem l'Elohim, which is exactly what it says in Parashat Va'era, v'lakahti etchem li le'am v'hayiti lachem l'Elohim. And how does that happen? It happens, Zot Torah Tabema Va'op, Echonem V'Shayar Omeser, Echonem, it's the laws of Kashrut. Now she says over here, actually, it says over here, El Male lo he'aliti et Yisrael b'Mitzrayim, Ela b'Shvil she'em metame'im b'Shenatzim. If I took you out of Mitzrayim, just for the fact that the Jewish people are not metame'im b'Shenatzim, Kish'ar Umot, like the rest of the nations, Dayam. And that's where the Pasuk says, Hama'ale etchem. That's what elevates, which means we're a different creation. There's a ma'ala. Just like there's a ma'ala between the Tzomeya and the Domem, and between the high and the Tzomeya, and the Medaber and the high, there's a ma'ala, there's an elevation of species between Christ and everybody else. And therefore that ma'ala demands for us to have a different diet. And the ma'ala is not in our bodies. We have the same exact 248 limbs everybody else has. The ma'ala is in the ruhaniyut shebanu, the neshama shebanu. So then, because I lifted you when I came out of Egypt, hamali means I lifted you amongst all the species, and therefore, in order to reach that level of vayiti lachem nenohim, to have God as your God, to connect with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, it only comes through the strict diet that we're going to eat. And the Rav comes along and he says, that's why it's in this week's parasha. Because in this week's parasha, you see the Ma'alav Klai Yisrael. Number one, it starts to talk about the Mishkan. What do you see in the Mishkan? All of a sudden, the Shekhinah came down and it says, Va'asuli Mikdash V'shekanti Petucham, the Shekhinah rested in every single Jew. How is that possible? The Shekhinah is Ish Ochila, it's a fire. It's a tremendous a surge of spirituality. But the Jewish person, since we have a neshama, we can tolerate the Shekhinah. Not only can we tolerate, the Shekhinah yearns to live and dwell in our midst. Number two, what do you see in the parasha? You see that there was some great tzaddiki, Nadab Abihu. Although we read about their death, but their death was a very noble death. The Rahim HaKadosh says they had such a craving to become close to Kadosh Baruch Hu that when the Shekhinah came down at the Mizbeach on the fire, they attached themselves. They didn't want to leave it. And therefore they died through his Lashon is Debekut and Hashikut and tremendous attachment to the Shekhinah. So you see the level that human beings, Jews specifically, are able to rise. And then the Torah comes and says to Aaron HaKohen, don't drink wine. And right after God says to Aaron, don't drink wine, is the laws of the Kashrut. So the Rabakshi Daron says something beautiful. He says, a person might say to himself, what is eating going to do to me? What is eating going to do with my neshama? What's the difference what I eat? What's the difference if I eat this type of fish or that type of meat? What's that got to do? The main thing is if I go to shul and pray in the morning, if I learn Torah, that I understand. If I do the mitzvot, if I give tzedakah, if I do chesed. But what's the diet going to do for my spirituality? So the Torah comes along and says, well, let me give you something that you can understand. There's one type of food that you do understand can change your nature, and that's wine. When a person drinks wine, you see it can affect you spiritually. The person becomes lightheaded. The person becomes, you know, starts joking around. The person starts acting in a... So you see food, there's certain foods that are evident to a person, like Yayin and Shechar. A person drinks beer. Look what happens when a person starts to get drunk. He acts like an animal. There you do see that the food can have a certain effect, even on your spiritual behavior. So the Torah comes along and says, just like Yayin v'Shechar, you see, has an effect on a person. I'm telling you that all these foods that I'm telling you, fish without fins and scales, animals without split hooves and chewing its cud, and all these shiratzim and all these birds that I told you, even though you don't see any difference between them, there's a big difference, and it's going to have the same and a worse impact on your neshama. And therefore, the Torah comes along and says that the goal of Yitziat Mitzrayim was what? V'lakachti etchem, I'm going to bring you as a nation. I'm going to be a God to you, and that's through the kashrut. That's how we connect. Vidatem ki ani Hashem. The Rav says, when it says Vidatem ki ani Hashem, that means you're going to connect. Anytime the Torah says the word Yidi'ah, Yidi'ah in the books always explained as a connection. Just like we have Chokhmah and Binah, those are the two forms of wisdom. And then the goal is Da'at. Da'at is to take both of them and fuse them together and then live according to those principles. Anytime there's a couple that's together in intimacy, the Torah says Vayeda. Vayeda, Kayin et Eshto, Adam et Eshto. They were together. That's called Yeda. Yidi'ah represents something that's connection. The Torah says the goal is Vidatem ki ani Hashem. The goal is that you'll connect to the ani Hashem. And that's done in Olam Haba. We know Divikut primarily is done in Olam Haba. So ultimately, if a person wants to reach this Vidatem ki ani Hashem, a person wants to reach this connection with the Kadosh Baruch Hu Olam Haba, he has to be very careful on his diet. Which means the diet is which allows the frequencies of our neshama and Shekhinah, which is above, in order to connect. But if we're not on the same frequencies, if we're not eating the right foods, so then there cannot be a connection. And therefore, the Rashi over here says it clearly, V'item kedoshim, this is written by the laws of Kashrut, lefi she'ani akadesh etchem nemala ololam haba. It's a new way of looking at the laws of Kashrut. We always felt Kashrut has something to do with us in this world, that you can't understand Torah if you're not eating kosher food. It's true, that's Timtum Alev. But the Rav was pointing out to us that our olam haba, which is our devikut and connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu, is really, really linked and hinged on the foods that we're going to eat. And that's why the Torah writes in this week's parasha, when you see the ma'ala of Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people can be a nation of Shechati Betucham. Nadab and Abihu die a noble death where they're able to attach themselves to the Shekhinah. That's how they die. God says to Aaron, Yain b'shechar altesh, don't drink certain foods. Those are foods you can understand will have an impact to your ruchniyut. And then don't eat these other foods, even though you might not feel why it's like that. But it's like that. It does have an impact, not only on your olam hazeh, but it does have an impact on olam baba. We don't know the reason why this last pandemic that we're going through, where it started. Some say it actually started in China in a food market, that they were eating all these shiratzim and shikatzim, and it started, you know, from their diet, and they eat all these things that are tameh, declared the Torah, that forbids. Some have said that actually in this week's parasha, they looked at the codes in the Torah, and they actually found in the parasha that talks about the forbidden foods, they found coronavirus, they found China, they found all the different grids, you know, these the secret hidden words that this was alluded to. Well, that's the physical damage. Physical damage is nowhere near the spiritual damage that foods have. And therefore, you know, we have to think, we just came out of Pesach, Baruch Hashem. And coming out of Pesach is, you know, you hear something on Pesach that you don't hear all year long. Kosher for Pesach. Had kasher v'sameach. It's unbelievable. The holiday of Pesach and kashrut go together. We don't just say Hag Sameach, but Sukkot, you don't say Hag Kasher. Although it should be Hag Kasher as well. But by Pesach, the main thing is to be Hag Kasher. We're worried about the inyan of the kashrut ha'achalim. And we just went through 7 days, 8 days. Baruch Hashem, everybody was careful what they ingested. No hametz. And now we go back into the hametz. We have to be careful going forward what we're allowed to eat. And, you know, now Borei Olam's testing us also. No more eating out. Those days are over, eating out. People go to restaurants and they're not careful. It doesn't matter if you go to shul and learn dafa yomi and all these things, but a person's eating not kosher foods, he's jeopardizing his olam haba. You can't get into olam haba if you're learning dafa yomi and eating out, or you're shomer shabbat and you're eating out in these restaurants that are not kosher. It does not allow the connection to happen. God says that the key is you're a different species. You're not like everybody else. So when you see everybody else eating these items, it's not talking about olam hazeh. A guy can eat lobster and live to 110 years old. Say, oh, you see that? Didn't affect him. Didn't affect him. It didn't affect him. God said, I'm not worried about his body. He has no soul. So therefore, these foods over here don't damage like would damage the Jewish person's soul. That's why it's a zot haya. Since we have an ability to live, so therefore God says, you have to trust me that the neshama can only tolerate certain foods and it cannot tolerate other foods. And therefore, right after we come out of Hakasher v'sameach, which is we come out of the holiday of Kashrut, the Torah reminds us, usually Parashat Shemini always comes after Pesach, to remind us that Kashrut is not only on Pesach. Kashrut is all year long. Kashrut is something that it's not only 1 week that you have to have Hakasher v'sameach. We have to have Hakasher all year long. And the Torah reminds us from that. And then, Be'ezrat Hashem, we understand why the Rambam puts the laws of Kashrut in the section called Kiddushah. Because that's the Kiddushah separates us. Kiddushah means to separate. We're separate from everybody else. That's why Masechet Chulin is in Seder Kodshim. And that's why, and I'll conclude what he says, the Rav, we just learned in the Daf Yomi on the Pasuk, the Shisha Sidrei Mishnah is hinted in a Pasuk in Yeshaya Lamed Gima. V'haya emunot itecha chosen yeshuot chokhmah v'da'at. Each one of those words represents one of the sedarim in Mishnayot. And v'da'at, which is the sixth one, represents taharot. And you see over here that tahara, kedusha, and tahara, chokhmah v'da'at, is said that taharot, is hinted in da'at. Da'at means to connect. You can only connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with his tahara, with his purity. And tahara is based not only on the laws of Tumah v'tahara, which is less than the laws of Kashrut. Tumah v'tahara only applies, not that you're not allowed to become tameh. What happens after you become tameh, you can't go into the Beit HaMikdash. But it's not an isut to become tameh. Whereas the laws of Kashrut, they're isut be'etzem. A person not even allowed to come close to it. And that's why the Torah compares it, and he says at the end of the parasha, lehavdil ben atameh u ben atahor, Tameh is something that you're not allowed to eat, and Tahor is something that you are allowed to eat. Uben haya ne'echelet, uben haya asher lo te'acher. So, yiratzon, we should be zocher that we should take this lesson of kashrut, and Be'ezrat Hashem, we should be a little more meticulous as we are now, because everybody's, obviously, diet has been impacted. We're not going out, running out to eat in all these different places. And the kosher food that we eat all year long, Be'ezrat Hashem will give us a closer connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Will be fulfilled what was said when we came out of Mitzrayim. V'lakachti etchem li, le'am ve'iti lachem l'Elohim v'idatem, ki ani Adonai, like it says in Kashrut, ki ani Adonai ma'alei etchem me'esh v'sayim, li'yot lachem l'Elohim v'item kedoshim, and then we can reach a level to becoming kadosh, ki kadosh ani. Let these words be a ilui neshama for the Rav that said them, Rav Bachshi Doron Av Shalom, and it should be a militz tov, לנו וכל עם ישראל, אמן כן ירצו. תהי נשמתו של רבי צור החיים, אמן.